Thank you for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford with The Truth Ministries. Listen every Sunday morning for his weekly message and follow him on the web at www.thetruthministries.us.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to the radio broadcast today on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's good to be with you all again. This is Brother David Clark, and I'm going to be bringing the word for you today. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have them with me, to Genesis chapter 3. I just want to welcome everyone today to the radio broadcast, all of our guys at Baker Correctional and at Florida State Prison listen with us, all those guys out there. We welcome you this morning, all of our Facebook Live viewers, everyone. We're just so glad that you're with us today. So turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 is where we're going to start. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading today, and I apologize, but I have to get it all in there for the context. Genesis 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're talking about Adam and Eve and how that Adam and Eve were in the garden. We're going to reference some things in chapter 2, but we're going to start in chapter 3 reading. And so you just follow along with me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, yet lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I'm going to stop reading there, and I'm going to just talk to you for a few minutes this morning about the last season in Eden. Now, I shared this last night at Baker. I did not get to finish my message last night due to time constraints. And so I want you guys just to follow along with me. I'm going to try to get all this in this morning. The last season in Eden. Now, I want to read one other scripture here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen to that word there, season. To enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We're talking about the story of Adam and Eve. We all have heard this since we've been in Sunday school as a child. We all know anyone that's been around any time, you know the story of Adam and Eve. It's the oldest story that's on record, the first people that were created. God made the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1. We all know that verse. God saw everything that he made. It was good. Then God made Adam, brought Adam into the picture and put him in the Garden of Eden. God made that garden specifically for Adam. And then he said, it's not good for man that he would be alone. I'm going to give him a helpmeet. So he makes Eve and gives him to Adam as a helpmeet. So we have a picture here in chapter number 2, if you'll go back and read it, where God made everything in the Garden of Eden perfect. It was a perfect place for Adam and Eve to inhabit. They had need of nothing. Everything was perfection. God made all the plants that they would need to eat, all the animals there, everything, that whole ecosystem. God put all that into place, and there was nothing left wanting in the Garden of Eden. It was paradise, if you will. It was a place that you and I could only dream of, with, I'm sure. And then the Bible talks about how that the river run through that Garden of Eden and how that it came off into four different routes there. So there was water sources. There was everything that could be desired. Adam and Eve, they didn't have any need to go anywhere or search for anything else. God gave them perfection, everything they would ever need. Now, in the middle of that garden, we read that God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he put the tree of life in the middle of that garden. Now, we know that God told Adam and Eve, we're going to read it here in just a minute, but he told Adam and Eve, you cannot eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I put it in the middle of the garden, but you can't eat it and you can't touch it, lest you die. Very strong words from God. There's things, Adam and Eve, in the middle of this garden, you can have anything else you want, all the good things of God, but what is off limits. And if you partake of what is off limits, Adam and Eve, the consequences for that rebellion is death. Now, we know in the Bible it says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I want to talk this morning about that last season in Eden. The Bible says here in Hebrews, I'll read it one more time for you. Hebrews 11 and 25. It said, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You and I today, we have a tendency to want the thing that is off limits. You know that to be true. If you tell a toddler, look, you can do this, you can play with your blocks, you can play with your army men, you can do this or you can color, but don't put your hand in the cookie jar. What are they going to do? They're going to go do the thing that they've been told not to do because it's our human nature to have the thing which God has forbade, to have the thing which God says you shall not do. There are things in yours and my Christian walk that God has specifically said is off limits. We call that sin. The Bible specifically calls it sin. There are things that you are not to take part in. But not only are you not to participate, you're not to touch them, to put your hands on them. The Bible says in one place that if you have commit adultery, you've heard it, that if you commit adultery, you know that you're guilty. But the Bible says in the New Testament, but I say to you that if you lusted after another man's wife just in your mind, then you're guilty of the same sin. Listen, God does not play, or he does not cut corners or speak softly when it comes to sin. Sin is punishable by death. Same sentence for every infraction. It doesn't matter who the offender is. It doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter how good of a lawyer that they have. Sin is punishable by death. The wages of sin is death. There is no other outcome from sin in the life of a person than death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. We know that at the end of this thing, we're going to be judged. We're going to meet God. We're going to have to give an account for everything we've done. And God's going to judge us off our record. He's keeping a record this morning. He knows what we've been doing. He knows our lifestyle. He knows exactly where we've been. He knows the intent of our heart. And God will punish and he will reward accordingly. The wages of sin is death. So Adam and Eve are in this garden. God said this tree is off limits. You can't have it. So the serpent makes his way into the picture. There's always a voice of compromise, always a voice trying to get us to turn against God and what God has said. So the serpent, we'll read here, continue on. In the book of Genesis here, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You can see in verse number 7 that the results of sin in someone's life always immediately brings guilt and conviction for the action they've just committed. Never one time does someone engage in a sin that God, they know the word of God, they've heard the truth of the knowledge of the gospel, and they go against what God has said. It always brings conviction because they know better. You ever heard an adult tell a child that? Why'd you do that? You know better than that. I taught you better than that. My parents said that to me all the time. You know better than that. I didn't raise you this way. Listen to me this morning. There is a way that seems right unto a man. The ways thereof, the end thereof are destruction. There's a way that we must walk in. I'm going to preach a little holiness this morning, so I hope nobody falls out with me, but that's just the way that it is. Listen to me. This road is going to take us to heaven. It is a straight and a narrow road. It is a highway of holiness, and only a few are going to find it. There's going to be many that say, Lord, Lord, in that day, and he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. There's going to be a lot of folks that come to God on that day and say, but Lord, I walked in the Garden of Eden, but God, I tasted of the river of life. God, I partook of the tree of life, but you also put your hand to that tree, that forbidden thing that God said you shall not do. Sin in the heart of a man is what separates us from a holy God. There can be no sin in the heart of a believer. We have an advocate with the Father when we sin. It's our responsibility to go to Christ and say, Lord, if there's anything in my heart, forgive me and purge me of sin and iniquity, that I would be blameless before you. We are not excused from sin. Brothers and sisters, today, once we're born again, we don't have a license to go sin. We have to maintain a godly lifestyle, a sanctified and holy lifestyle every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We must always be conformed to the image of Christ and never give room or place to the enemy. Every time he's talking, he's always saying something contrary to the word of God. He's always leading in a way that is going to make us depart from the faith. There's never a time that the enemy comes in that he has something to say that's going to edify you or lift you up in the faith. It won't happen. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's a deceiver, the father of lies this morning. Now, we have to pay attention to what we listen to, because that snake is in the garden today. The snake is in the garden today. Let's read on here. And they heard the voice of God, of the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And God amongst the tree, the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now listen, that was all fine and well that God punished the devil for deceiving Eve, but it doesn't stop there. Eve did not get off the hook, my friend. When she committed sin, God did not just punish the one that lied to her. God held Adam and Eve accountable for that sin. There is no excuse this morning. When you and I fall into sin and unrighteousness, we can't blame somebody else. We can't blame the devil. We can't blame a pastor. We can't blame an evangelist. We can't blame a college professor for lying to us. Only person that's going to be held accountable is you and me. We're going to stand before God one-on-one, and nobody else is going to hold our hand. We're going to have to give an account for the things that we've done, and God is going to be a judge on that day. And my friend, I would not want to be in the shoes of that one that knew the truth that God had spoken to and said, you have all the goodness that I can give you. You have all the pleasantries and all of the knowledge I can give you. You've got my words. You've got the blood of my son. You've got everything you need. I've made this thing completely accessible to you. And yet we allow the enemy to come in and lie to us and rob us and steal from us. We allow him to deceive us, and then we carry on as if everything is all right. But my friend, this morning, sin will never enter in until that celestial city. There will not be one sin that remains unjudged before the host of heaven enter in before the remnant, before all of us who stand before God go in. No sin will live there. All sin will be cast into hell. You understand? There won't be anybody in heaven with sin in their heart. And the only way we're going to get through those gates is that the blood of Christ has been applied. Now, Eve did not get passed over. Listen to what the Lord said. The Lord, he said unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is come as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God's punishment and his consequences for sin was swift and it was severe. You understand what I'm saying this morning? I know there's going to be those that cry out and those that holler back and send hate mail and say, but God's a God of mercy. You're exactly right. He is a God of mercy, and God does forgive sin, but we have to go to God in repentance. We have to go to God with a contrite heart, and we have to ask God for forgiveness. We are not automatically just qualified to have forgiveness every time we sin. Just take it to the bank that God's going to let us in. It won't happen that way. The Bible said, I would that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ. We have to go to him and confess our sin. The Bible said that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin if we confess our sin. Now listen to me. Something I want to mention here is the first thing that happened when God began to bring out the sin that took place. The first thing that started to happen is what happens so often in the church world today. Whenever the preacher gets up and preaches and God begins to convict, or sin becomes exposed and God brings to light things that have gone on that people have tried to get by with, and God said, I'm going to expose it to everybody, then all of a sudden fingers start pointing and excuses start flying, and people begin to blame this one and blame that one. But we see here in this example that God does not tolerate that foolishness. And when sin enters into the heart of a man and he dwells on it, and then it becomes an action in his life, God judges that sin on an individual basis. I'm sorry that someone told you it was all right to name the name of Christ and cuss like a sailor. I'm sorry that someone told you it was all right to fornicate and commit adultery and still name the name of Christ. I'm sorry that someone told you it was all right to abuse this temple and still feel like you're going to heaven. I'm sorry someone told you that you can live like a devil and still attend church on Sunday like everything is all right. I'm sorry someone lied to you and told you that you don't have to live holy, and someone told you you don't have to live sanctified. But the truth of the matter is, you've got the word of God this morning, and it doesn't matter if someone lied to you. It doesn't matter if someone tried to deceive you. You are accountable for your own salvation today. You are going to be held responsible for what you've done with the crucifixion of Christ, with his sacrifice. It's going to fall on your hands this morning, on my hands today. None of us will be left excusable. Eve said, well, it was the serpent. Adam said, well, it was my wife. And God said, it doesn't matter who deceived you. It doesn't matter because you allowed the enemy to speak. You allow the enemy to have a foothold in your life. The enemy comes at us all the time. We know the word of God. We stand on his promises. We know how to live holy. We hear the preaching all the time. If you go to church, you go to a Bible-believing church. If they don't preach holiness, you need to get up and find somewhere else. But Bible-believing churches preach holiness and righteousness unto God. It doesn't matter if the devil comes by one day and says, you don't have to live it that way anymore. You don't have to heed to those convictions anymore. You don't have to do it like the old timers used to do it. You don't have to believe the way that this one or that one believes. Well, my friend, I have some disturbing news for you this morning. The Bible said that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his word is final. His word is eternal. And what God has required of grandma and grandpa, God requires of you and me. The same way that they had to live to make it, it's going to require that same commitment, that same holiness lifestyle. That's not popular anymore. But my God, heaven has got to be worth it all. It's in my heart. It's got to be my one priority. It's got to be the only reason that I wake up in the morning, the only reason that I go out and do the things I do, the only reason I serve God, because I love him and I want to make it. I've got to see heaven. I've got to do what I've got to do to get to that place, and only the holy are going to get there. Only those that have been blood-bought, only those that are living a sanctified life are going to make it. It doesn't matter who says otherwise. Well, the preacher preached that I don't have to live that way. Well, that preacher's going to stand before God, and he's going to give an account for his compromise. Well, that Sunday school teacher is going to stand before God, and they're going to have to answer to him why they lied on the Holy Ghost. Because this word of God does not change. It's the same forever. Adam and Eve in that garden, God gave them everything they needed. Everything. Access to all God had for them. And yet, in a moment of temptation, they used that compromise. They used that moment of weakness. And they lost everything in a moment. Just like that. You say that was severe. It was severe. But listen to me. Every time that a believer allows compromise in their heart, they allow the enemy to lie to them, or they believe his lies, what they're doing is they're crucifying Christ all over again. They are saying, crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. Every time we do something contrary to the word of God, we trample the blood of Christ, his righteousness and his holiness. Listen to me this morning. Adam and Eve were thrown out of the garden. They were cast outside of that wonderful living they had. And cherubims were placed at the gate where they could never go back. They were cut off from the Garden of Eden. And they were caused to live a life that was hard and was painful. They brought the curse of sin upon the entire world. The reason why we suffer the results of sin today is because of their one moment of a temptation, one bite of fruit, one moment of weakness. And look at the effects that it's had on generation after generation. You think your sin only affects you? You think that your worldliness only affects you? You think that your compromise only affects you this morning? Well, I would submit to you that God, the righteous judge, is going to judge us according to every word and every deed. And the blood of those that we've caused to stumble is going to be on our hands. We're going to have to give an account. Our life of holiness, it affects those around us. Christ shining through us as an example to this world and the absence thereof, the same way we're going to give an account for. We have a calling. We have a duty to be Christ in this world. And one moment of weakness, one moment of temptation, one moment of compromise can cost us to lose it all. But not just us. Who is watching? Who is coming up after us that's going to fall and to stumble because of our moment of uncertainty? Because of our moment of compromise? My brothers and my sisters, I would submit to you today that it's not worth it. Anything the devil puts in front of you, cast it aside. Anytime he tries to get you to compromise, tighten up that much more. Live as close and as tight of a walk with God as you possibly can. Get in this word this morning and allow it to consume your life. Read on how God requires us to live. Study this word. Study to show yourself approved, that we would be pleasing to God. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price today. It doesn't matter who says otherwise. It doesn't matter what the devil says you can do. It doesn't matter what people, what Hollywood says that you can do. The ultimatum here is that you are going to be held responsible. You have a choice this morning to live holiness unto God, or to choose compromise, to choose to give in to temptation and watch your life be destroyed in the blink of an eye. You say, God's merciful. God is merciful, but it requires a repentant heart on the choice of you and I to be repentant before God. We must come to our senses today and realize, I want to talk to the backslider just for a minute. I want to talk to that one that used to live holiness and you've compromised just for a minute. I want to say something to you right now under the authority of the Holy Ghost. God didn't turn a blind eye when you walked away. God did not turn a blind eye whenever you decided that you didn't have to live holy anymore. God didn't turn a blind eye. Everything has been recorded and you're going to stand before God. But we live in mercy and grace today, and you can repent. It's not too late for you to turn around. You can inherit the kingdom of God. You have to confess and believe. Let God wash you of that sin. Adam and Eve lost everything. They brought the curse of sin on the world. Jesus came, though, to redeem us from the fall. He came to wash us and deliver us from the results of sin. And because of that, we don't have to die and go to hell. Friends, it's not too late. But I want to tell you, if you're fighting with temptation today, if you're going back and forth in your mind as to whether you should stay in the boat and live for God, or whether you should loosen up and go do the things of the world, I want to tell you that the time is too late. The time is too late. We're going to make it. We got to stay in the boat today. I'm out of time. I want to say that I love you and I appreciate you for listening. I'm praying for you. God bless you this morning. Find you a church. Get somewhere this morning and worship God. The time is short, brothers. He's coming. Jesus is coming. God bless you today. I love you. Get somewhere and go to church. Send me a message and let me know if you have any questions or comments about the broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you again for tuning in this morning to hear Brother Tommy Ledford. Please follow on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you can get information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and God bless you.